In the audience, please silence your cell phones or turn them all the way off or step out into the hallway. Please do not disrupt this meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Frizzell, would you like to introduce our item?
Sure. The next item that the board, for the board to consider, do we have a quorum? I think we do. So the next item for the board to consider is what's known as a petition for declaratory statement. That's a legal vehicle that exists in administrative law in Chapter 120 that allows a individual or a what's called a substantially affected person to bring a question before the board. They're not very common. They are fairly rarely used, but they can be a good tool to get a question answered or to open a discussion on a particular point. Before we begin, as I do with petitions for variance and waiver, which I won't go into detail about, I'd like to read the statute so that way it's fresh in the board's mind as to what the requirements are today. So I'm reading from Chapter 120.565, Declaratory Statement by Agencies, and I'll be reading subparagraphs 1 and 2. Any substantially affected person may seek a declaratory statement regarding an agency's opinion as to the applicability of a statutory provision or if any rule or order of the agency as it applies to the petitioner's particular set of circumstances. The petition for, and this is two, but the petition seeking a declaratory statement shall state with particularity the petitioner's set of circumstances which shall specify the statutory provision, rule, or order that the petitioner believes may apply to that set of circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you. And in front of us, Ms. Driggers.
Thank you, Madam Chair and board members.
No, I don't believe so. Not the attorney.
I'm a lawyer, but
yeah.
Dr.
Maybe
Regan.
Maybe the doctor.
No, of course not. It's not Ms. Driggers.
Yes.
I do. Dr. Aaron Wiegand.
Kimberly Driggers.
And before you begin, I would one more point out this, that the public will be able to comment on this if there is any public comment. However, because this is probably going to be a very in-depth conversation and many people may want to comment, we would request that you, pursuant to the rule, limit your comments to 5 minutes. I really don't want to have to time you, but I will. So, all right, thanks.
And we're okay to start without Dr. Oliverio?
We have a quorum,
he's here.
And he's here.
Okay, oh, good. Thank you. As I said, Kim Driggers, the General Counsel to the Florida Chiropractic Association, and I have with me today Dr. Aaron Wiegand. He is a second-generation chiropractor, practices in Arizona. He is certified in both acupuncture and in dry needling, and he is only one of very few chiropractors who teaches dry needling across the country. So I brought him here today. With regard to our time, I'll talk about the legalities of the petition. Dr. Wiegand will discuss the differences between dry needling and acupuncture and be able to answer your technical questions that I may not be able to answer, and then I'll do a brief conclusion. The FCA does have standing to bring this petition because it involves an issue that its members have an interest in. And it's a simple issue, which is whether dry needling is within Florida's scope of practice. In looking at our member calls to the FCA, there are about 76 of them that called, is dry needling in our scope? Can I do it? There are courses being offered. Can I take it? And I wasn't really able to answer those questions, which is why we've brought this petition for a declaratory statement. Attorney Frizzell did a good job explaining what the DEC action is, or a petition for declaratory statement. But also one of the purposes, which I found a little enlightening and makes sense, the first DCA has explained that it's to avoid costly administrative litigation by selecting the proper course of action in advance. Moreover, it may offer useful guidance to others who are likely to interact with the agency in similar circumstances. Lawton Childs versus Division of Elections, 711 Southern 2nd, 151, Florida 1st DCA, 1998. So in this particular case, when I receive those calls to tell them that it is in their scope, and then if somebody reported them that they're performing a procedure that they shouldn't be reporting, it would cause them possibly to come before this board, expend a significant amount of money on attorney's fees and have this board make that determination. So we're kind of trying to cut that off at the pass and ask this board answer that question for us. The board is not unfamiliar with declaratory statements. If you remember, I think most of this board was here in February of 2022. This board answered a declaratory statement on whether a proposed restructuring of an integrated chiropractic practice violated disciplinary actions or disciplinary statutes. And then at this meeting last year, there were three petitioners for declaratory statements, about 20 declaratory statements were answered on pretty intricate legal issues. So this board has done it before. This particular petition looks at our scope of practice in Florida, section 460.403, 9C1. And in that, it states that chiropractic physicians may adjust, manipulate, or treat the human body by manual, mechanical, electrical, or natural methods by the use of physical means or physiotherapy. That's primarily the section of the scope that we're looking at today. So the definition of dry needling is actually in two other practice acts in Florida. One is the Physical Therapy Practice Act, and the other is the Athletic Trainers Practice Act. The definition of dry needling is found in the Physical Therapy Practice Act, Chapter 486, and they defined it as a skilled intervention based on Western medicine that uses filiform needles and other apparatus or equipment to stimulate a myofascial trigger point for the evaluation and management of neuromusculoskeletal conditions, pain, movement, impairments, and disabilities. That's in 486.021, Section 12. So in 2020, the physical therapist put in rule that they could perform dry needling. It was contested by the acupuncturist, which resulted in a court hearing and a lawsuit by the acupuncturist appealing that provision. Before 2020, the physical therapist had a very narrow scope of practice. And the court, the first DCA, found that dry needling was not within their scope of practice. The result was in 2020, the physical therapist filed a bill to amend their scope of practice. They amended it pretty extensively, and that amendment included manual therapy, that they were allowed to perform manual therapy, which wasn't previously in their scope of practice. They also went on to state that the performance of dry needling in the practice of physical therapy may not be construed to limit the scope of practice of other licensed healthcare practitioners not governed by this chapter. In other words, just because the PTs can do it doesn't mean chiropractors can't do it. And as a result, actually, we see now athletic trainers in December of 2022 put it in their rule that they can perform dry needling. So it's evident that just because the PTs can do it doesn't mean that anybody else can't do it, as long as it's within scope. So now turning to the athletic trainers, their scope of practice is found in rule, unlike physical therapists or chiropractors. The statute for athletic trainers states that they can put their scope in rule. Their rule allows them, athletic trainers, to perform manual therapy techniques. And they made it in rule in December of 2023 that the athletic, with regard to dry needling, that the athletic trainer may administer monofilament intramuscular stimulation treatment for trigger points or myofascial pain at the direction of a physician. And that's found in their rule 64B33-4.001, subsection 8. So manual therapy has been in the Chiropractic Practice Act since it was legislatively authorized way back in 1919. So manual therapies in the Practice Act, manipulative therapies in the Practice Act, and physiotherapy, otherwise known as physical therapy, is in the Chiropractic Practice Act under Chapter 460. And it's our position that because all three of these are listed within Chapter 460, that it follows that dry needling can be performed by chiropractic physicians in the state of Florida. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Wiegand, who can explain the differences between acupuncture and dry needling, and then, as I said, I'll do a brief close.
Thank you. I prepared a statement to kind of create or delineate the differences between acupuncture and dry needling, as I know it's the opinion of some that they are synonymous. As I stated before, my name is Dr. Aaron Wiegand. I want to thank you for allowing me to share my experience with the Florida Board of Chiropractic Medicine. My experience includes over 15 years of practice. I'm certified in dry needling and acupuncture in Arizona, and I train doctors in Arizona and Texas in dry needling technique. My hope today is to provide the board with the information necessary to delineate the differences between dry needling and acupuncture, and to do so in terms of their divergent origins, context within the medical milieu, mechanisms of action, and delivery. Dry needling was really stumbled upon in the 1940s with musculoskeletal pain pioneers Travell and Simmons attempting to determine what therapeutic effect the needle contributed in trigger point injections. Their discovery that the needle itself contributed a significant amount of the relief experienced by patients undergoing the procedure was followed by other researchers who documented similar findings throughout the 1940s. In 1947, the researcher Paulette published the first reference to dry needling when he noted that even when the syringe had no medicine in it, the patients experienced relief, hence dry needling. It wasn't until 1979 that Lewis et al. Published the procedure using the types of filiform or needles without hollow bores for delivering medicine, like those used in acupuncture, in the journal Pain. Essentially, dry needling was discovered by researchers studying injections for musculoskeletal pain and discovering that the needle, without any medication, was in and of itself therapeutic. Today, there are over 1,000 peer-reviewed articles regarding the practice of dry needling. At its core, dry needling is the internal manipulation of soft tissue without the administration of medication. It is also a conduit for electrical stimulation to reach tissues directly deep beneath the dermis. There are multiple physiological outcomes which are the intent of dry needling: perforation of the muscle tissue to increase perfusion and oxygenation, mobilization of scar tissue and fascia, the targeted stimulation of nerves, the hydration of joints. Acupuncture is in no way attempting to affect the body in the same or even similar ways. Where dry needling is based on the physical, acupuncture is focused on the energetic. Pain relief and improvement of biomechanics associated with dry needling are based on the same physiology models used in modern medical pain management and physical medicine. The basis for acupuncture are models developed within traditional Chinese medicine over the course of thousands of years. Rather than physiology, acupuncture affects the body through the ethereal concepts of qi and meridians. This is the reason for the distinction held by the American Medical Association when they produced unique CPT codes specifically for dry needling. Based not on time, but the regions treated, these codes uniquely follow the definitions not unlike chiropractic manipulation codes based on spinal regions. If dry needling and acupuncture were really rebranding of the same intervention, these codes would be redundant and superfluous. But rather, these codes describe entirely different therapies with entirely different bases for satisfying the code. Acupuncture codes are time-based. The simple procedure of dry needling, a trigger point, can take mere seconds and would fail to meet the time requirements for the AMA's CPT codes for acupuncture. The AMA doesn't consider dry needling synonymous with acupuncture. Neither does the research community or even the Florida Physical Therapy Board, and neither should this body. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida defines dry needling as a separate and distinct therapy thusly: dry needling, the insertion of a needle into a trigger point without injection of any medication to try to deactivate the trigger point. The needle is removed, and the procedure is often followed by stretching exercises. While acupuncture's intervention is to affect the dry needling, affect the traditional Chinese medicine concept of qi via meridians, dry needling's intervention is based on the muscles, bones, ligaments, and nerves of the system. Chiropractors are uniquely trained in the conservative management thereof. It is also meant to be part of a multimodal rehabilitation plan that includes stretching and exercises. While acupuncture scope is the entire body, including every organ system, and even the psychology of the patient, dry needling focuses exclusively on treating the pain and dysfunction of bone and joint pain. While acupuncture asserts that it can address conditions like liver disease with a needle somewhere remote, like in the foot or in hand, dry needling makes intimate and direct contact with the affected tissues and is exclusive to the neuromusculoskeletal system. In the Florida statute, acupuncture is defined as a modality of diagnosing and treating disease, pain, or physical conditions by stimulating various points on or within the body or interruption of the cutaneous integrity by needle insertion to secure a reflex relief of the symptoms by nerve stimulation. Acupuncture traditionally places needles just below the dermis. It is traditionally only skin deep. Dry needling places needles far beyond the dermis to reach target tissues, often 100 millimeters or nearly 6 inches beneath the skin, often down to the bone. These cannot be considered to be the same thing based solely on their invasiveness. While the statute defines acupuncture's intent as to secure a reflex of symptoms by nerve stimulation, dry needling treats the tissue not only through reflex, but by direct disruption of the tissue itself. Like myofascial release, dry needling's primary mechanism of action is the breakdown of deep tissue in order to stimulate the body's own natural healing mechanisms. By creating targeted microtrauma to the affected area, the intended result goes far beyond reflex relief, engaging immunological-based repair and analgesic reactions. Piercing a muscle to create vasodilation and to promote cell proliferation, as with dry needling, is in no way the same thing as merely placing a needle in the skin to stimulate cutaneous nerves. To assert that acupuncture is somehow synonymous with dry needling would portend that training in traditional Chinese medicine qualifies a practitioner to place a needle at L2, piercing the dermis, the thoracolumbar fascia, the iliocostalis lumborum, finding the quadratus lumborum often 6 inches deep without ending up in the kidney only an inch or two deeper. The training in acupuncture is simply insufficient to produce safe dry needling practitioners. To claim acupuncture and dry needling is somehow the same thing is not only inaccurate, it would give those certified in acupuncture a false sense of qualification to perform dry needling safely. I have underwent the same requisite training in acupuncture as outlined in the statute that allows chiropractors to perform the art in Florida. I can tell you with absolute certainty that neither the over 100 hours of education regarding meridians or the board exam came close to providing a minimum level of competency to perform dry needling safely. You could receive a certification in acupuncture as a chiropractor in the state of Florida without having placed a single needle in a patient. Creating this false equivalence is like claiming a carpenter and a dentist are equally qualified to perform root canals because both use drills. Recent literature continues to suggest that dry needling has the potential to produce outcomes similar to that of spinal epidurals, PRP, Botox, and trigger point injections. In the hands of a trained chiropractor, patients will have access to outcomes at a fraction of the cost and at an exponentially lower relative risk. Acupuncture is a time technique targeting points in the body based on tradition over physical anatomy that are skin deep. Dry needling is an internal soft tissue manipulation therapy targeting the neuromusculoskeletal system with the intended outcome of reducing pain and increased range of motion for myofascial, arthritic, and neurological pain. As a soft tissue manipulation technique, it should already be considered within the practice for chiropractic physicians according to current Florida statutes. The practice of orthopedics and butchering are no more synonymous simply because both use knives. The tool does not define the intervention. It is the unique intent, training, and skills behind the wielder of those tools that do. Likewise, the only similarity between dry needling and acupuncture is the use of a similar tool. Nothing else. Thank you for my time.
Thank you.
Just briefly, in conclusion, this board has issued its share of declaratory statements, and even if this board wishes to enter into rulemaking on dry needling, our Florida Supreme Court has guided us and rejected the proposition that an agency could decline to issue a declaratory statement and simply because it intended to go into rulemaking. Supreme Court stated in Investment Corporation of Palm Beach versus Division of Parimutuel Wagering, 747 Southern 2nd, 386, Florida Supreme Court, 1999. It elevates form over substance to assert that an agency cannot issue a declaratory statement while at the same time announcing its intention to initiate rulemaking to establish an agency statement of general applicability. We are not aware of any rule of law that precludes an agency from simultaneously pursuing both courses of action. So as the PT statute says, just because the PTs and the athletic trainers can do it doesn't mean chiropractic physicians cannot do it. neither PTs nor ATs have acupuncture in their scope of practice, but we all do share the same thing, which is manual therapy in our scopes of practice. By granting this petition for a declaratory judgment or statement, you'll be answering the question of many chiropractic physicians in the state of Florida. You'll be removing the risk that they take by performing dry needling in the state, and you'll save them some money by being gun-shy about performing it and then getting caught in a disciplinary action in front of this board. And for these reasons, we request that you grant the petition for a declaratory statement.
Board members, do we have questions?
I have comments.
Yes, sir.
I've brought this subject up probably for the past year now with Mrs. Mooney trying to get scope of practice opened up for chiropractors. And I think this would be a good stepping stone to call for a workshop and get all the organizations together. Mrs. Driggers has presented this. And I think if we were to get everyone together and have a workshop with all the organizations and discuss these topics, we can open a scope of practice and include things such as dry needling, among other things. I just recently sent out a letter asking the state associations for this very topic to pull, and I think that's what we should be doing with this topic.
Well, that's not really the question here today, and I agree with you, but it's primarily the dry needling. Do we want to be able to do what the physical therapists do and the athletic trainers? That's our answer. I mean, that's our question. And my comment to go along with that, if they can do it, by extension, we can do it. And really what we need to do is just codify that we agree with that. That's what we're here for. That's what it appears to me.
I mean, we're chasing after physical therapists and athletic trainers. I mean, come on. We're physicians. Medicare doesn't consider us primary care physicians. But I think we need to work as a profession that direction. And by opening the scope of practice and allowing us to offer more modalities to our patients for their benefit to help them, which we are qualified to do, I think is a prudent choice and a prudent step. And I think, you know, rather than piecemealing every little thing with declaratory statements, let's come together and have that workshop and come to a consensus and move the profession forward.
But, Dr.
It's a great time for it.
Opening our scope is that's a whole different thing than what we're talking about. We're talking about dry needling, and that's a whole different animal to open our scope, and I agree with you. I think that's something that should be done, but that's not what we're talking about today, and maybe you don't like the process, but that's what we're dealt with.
But Mrs. Driggers brought up the topic of scope of practice. This whole thing's about scope of practice.
So, Dr. Oliveria, the question that's being asked of the declaratory statement today is whether or not dry needling falls within the current scope of practice that's established in the statute. We have had several discussions here today, before today, about your desire to expand the scope of practice. The board does not have the authority to expand the statutory authority, the statutorily created scope of practice. The board certainly and individual license holders have the ability to advocate for changes to the statute that would expand that. It's just not something that's here before us today. So today, the question is whether or not dry needling falls within our currently existing scope of practice.
I understand. And you told me that the DOH would not handle that I needed to go to the associations, which is what I've done. So my motion would be to table this and have it come to a workshop. And so we can discuss other scope and bring it all together as one package.
Dr. O, is it your position that dry needling does not exist in the current scope of practice?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been trained in dry needling. I haven't been trained in giving injections or prescribing medications, but I'd like to.
But Dr. O, I've been trained in dry needling, and I use it in my practice right now.
Well, the fact that we're here,
just because you don't, doesn't mean that. And do you not like the fact that the the physical therapists can do it, which is have a lot less training overall than we do, and you're saying we're going to put it on hold and say, well, we can't do it. I think this is time to say we're going to do it right now if it's what we're here for.
I'm saying we shouldn't use physical therapists as our model to trudge forward. We should be trudging forward, being leaders and setting the standard, the other way around.
Okay, so what? Then where do we go forward? We're just saying we're not going to because of physical therapy?
I'm not saying we're not. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying let's get together with the associations, have a workshop, come together, and make a package so we can push everything together at the same time rather than piecemealing it one by one.
But that's a different issue. That's a whole different...
It's part of scope of practice.
Mr. Frizzell.
I understand that there's a motion on the table. There hasn't been a second. But before that, I would like to give... I've given a lot of thought and a lot of research into this issue, and I would like to be able to address the board on what I see in this issue. I understand I am not... I'm not a chiropractor. I'm not a trained doctor. I'm an attorney. And so what my position on this and what my review on this has been from a legal perspective. I agree that we should not be... I agree... So the what's telling to me is that the question here, and there's a preliminary question that needs to be answered, which is whether or not the Florida Chiropractic Association has standing. We'll need a vote on that. My position is that they do. So the real issue here is whether or not, and I understand opening up the scope of practice, but the real question that's before the board today is whether or not dry needling, as it currently exists, dry needling is allowed pursuant to your scope of practice as it currently exists. As Ms. Drigger said, the scope of practice is a function of the legislature. It's not, the board doesn't have control over that scope of practice. That would have to go to the legislature, which is absolutely certainly something that would be ripe for a discussion, but ultimately any vote that this board would take on whether or not a scope of practice should be open would be just simply a recommendation. With that being said, I have reviewed the scope of practice. I've reviewed the athletic trainers and the physical therapists. I've also read this decision, as Ms. Driggers mentioned. I've read this decision that was brought up in 2018 between the Florida State Oriental Medical Association, the Florida Department of Health Board of Physical Therapy Practice, and the Florida Physical Therapy Association. And with that being said, I want to make it very clear that my opinion on this is a legal opinion, not a medical opinion. That I have no understanding of either dry needling or acupuncture. However, in this particular order, Judge Stevenson, an administrative law judge, heard multiple days of testimony, multiple experts on both sides, because the physical therapists expanded their scope of practice by including dry needling, and the Florida State Oriental Medical Association challenged that as an overreach of legislative authority. In denying and in granting the petition by the Florida State Oriental Medical Association, Judge Stevenson made the determination that the physical therapist overstepped their boundaries in granting the ability to do dry needling. This happened in 2018. The reason that he made that determination was because he found that dry needling and acupuncture met the same legal definition in statute. And at the time, the physical therapists were allowed to perform acupuncture that did not pierce the skin. That was in their scope of practice. They were trying to say that dry needling was not acupuncture, and so therefore they could do it. The Florida State Oriental Medical Association disagreed, and Judge Stevenson sided with the physical therapy board. Subsequently, as Ms. Driggers has said, the physical therapy board did go forward and were successful in lobbying the legislature to change their scope of practice, which does include manual therapy, but also they specifically added dry needling as a authorized modality within their scope of practice. So now I am not as familiar with the athletic trainer's scope of practice, but if that's a function of rule, then them adding dry needling was within their ability to do so. What I'm saying is that my recommendation is that the board, that if the board wants to grant and answer this deck statement, that the answer is yes, but I believe it's yes because the board has the specific authority within your scope of practice to practice acupuncture. And I understand the expert, and I apologize, your name has escaped me.
Wiegand. Dr. Wiegand.
Okay. And I'm not saying that I believe that they are anywhere near the same medical modalities, that they treat the same thing, that they're even from the same hemisphere. What I'm saying is that legally speaking, dry needling meets the legal definition of acupuncture in the state of Florida, which is, I have it here, acupuncture shall include the insertion of acupuncture needles to specific areas of the human body. And that is 457.01.102, subsection 1. And that is the definition that Judge Stevenson made, that Judge Stevenson used in his ruling to determine that dry needling met the definition of acupuncture. And I understand that they're not the same, that they treat differently. One goes deeper, one is targeted. But legally speaking, according to this ruling in 2018, it has been determined to be acupuncture. Now, if the board determines that there's an additional location within your scope of practice where dry needling can function right now, then that is absolutely okay. But I would recommend that there be some type of rulemaking to clarify that. And even if the board were to answer yes today that it does because it does meet the definition of acupuncture, I still believe that there would be additional rulemaking that would need to be to clarify the type of training that would be required for someone to be able to perform dry needling as a consequence of the board's ability to perform acupuncture. So that is where I'm at right this second as far as the amount of where I believe that the board, where this falls under the scope of practice for the board.
So to Ms. Durger's, well, and the expert here, your opinion is that it's within the scope because we have acupuncture. Now, their argument is they're separate. So where are we going with this?
And that was the argument, and I know I'm hanging my hat on this 2018 final order.
And I'd like to respond.
Yeah, and it's just persuasive authority. Mm-hmm. It's not binding any way on the board today. However, if the ruling or any rule change that comes out of this is challenged, then this would be one of the first things that I would be bringing up too, and it would also be very very telling for whatever judge hears any challenge that's made. So anyway, that's what I had. I believe Ms. Striggers would like to respond.
Madam Chair, briefly, just a rebuttal to Attorney Frizzell's opinion, and lawyers are allowed to differ. And I've read that 60-page opinion. It's my opinion that since 2018, the Florida the Physical Therapy Board or the physical therapist put in statute, and we're talking law since 2018, the definition of dry needling. And they call it's defined in 46.021 to subsection 12, a skilled intervention based on Western medicine, not Eastern, that uses filiform needles and other apparatus or equipment to stimulate a myofascial trigger point, not a meridian, for the evaluation and management of neuromusculoskeletal condition, pain, movement impairments, and disabilities. And, you know, without going into the whole treatment apparatus, legally, it's our position that it is in law what dry needling is, and it is separate under manual therapy or physiotherapy, which is in our statute, which also means physical therapy. And if it's in the physical therapist statute, that means that we can perform dry needling as well. That's my rebuttal.
And just a very brief, remember, physical therapists have dry needling specifically included now as of 2020. So the mere fact that it is considered physiotherapy is not dispositive of that question because they are specifically allowed. So
specific verbiage in there that
there's
says
specific and actually it's quite extensive is the amount of training. It's so that's And I'm not suggesting that it doesn't fall under manual therapy or physiotherapy. I do believe that it very clearly falls under acupuncture. However, if the board were to determine that, based upon the new legal definition of dry needling, that it doesn't meet the definition of acupuncture, and they would like to make it under, they would need to identify the specific provision within the scope of practice that it does fall under, and then we would need to go into rulemaking.
This is Dr. Melch. I would like to make a motion that we accept the DEC statement and then a separate motion where we go into rulemaking.
But first I have to say that we already have a motion on the floor right now by Dr. O to table this, and if my recollection is Robert's Rule of Order, it would be tabled until the next meeting. So we have a motion on the floor to table this item, and if it passes, then I would say maybe that would give enough time for everybody to get together between now and November and this workshop. I'm not sure.
That would be great.
Like I said, we have a motion on the floor right now to table this item.
Also, the point that Mrs. Driggers brought up was it's in the physical therapy statute. Great. Let's get it to the chiropractic statute. We're chiropractors. Well, we have the workshop. Bring it together in a nice
Well, then you're talking about opening scope again.
I am.
But
so I would just like to say that we can certainly have a workshop in order to talk about things that you would like to recommend be made into the statute. The Department of Health doesn't currently have a legislative package that we're planning on filing for this year, so there's not a vehicle in order to take any of the board's recommendations. So it would be something that we would ask the associations to consider lobbying for on behalf of the industry. Legislative session doesn't begin until January of this year and runs through March, and those bills would become effective in July of next year. So it should any changes to scope of practice be taken up by the legislature and passed, they would not go into effect until July of next year.
So, Dr. Roberts again. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but because the physical therapists have it, by extension, we automatically have that ability.
That is a question that I have. I don't believe that there's an automatic so their scope of practice was expanded to include dry needling. So it also includes physiotherapy. Therefore they're two separate things, and the legislature determined that dry needling needed to be added in addition to physiotherapy and mechanical and that's my big concern.
So, but if they can do it, we can do it.
They can do it because it's in their scope of practice.
But we can do anything they do.
Not necessarily.
No.
You can perform, the statute does say you can perform physiotherapy.
All right, so if we wanted to.
So if we wanted to move forward, you'd have to say it's within physiotherapy and not. What was our other option?
So the option would be, the recommendation is acupuncture.
Okay.
However, but if you found that it was within the scope of physiotherapy, then I would recommend rulemaking and a part of that rulemaking would be discussion on training and the requirements that are established for that particular provision.
So then I say physical therapy, and then we go into rulemaking at another date, but do we get this part of the decision today, and then we can address rulemaking in another meeting?
Yes.
At least get the ball rolling and keep it under physical therapy, not to do with acupuncture, separate. Did I make that right?
Well, Claire? I think, sorry, if I may. He's just saying that he agrees it's under our scope because we have acupuncture, you know. So whether or not we're going to fight the fight that it's actually physical therapy or manual therapy, I mean, I guess we'll hash out if we get into a legal battle.
Let's keep it out of acupuncture though. Call it physical therapy. I think that's going to be our best option.
So I think
the fact that we're having to go through this discussion, to my point, we need to do more investigation, more homework, come together like we did for the online stuff, get everyone together, come to a consensus, and move forward as one unified chiropractic profession.
Okay, so board members, again, we have a motion on the floor by Dr. O to table the item to possibly come together with more information at the November meeting, but I don't have a second. And
no. Can I say something? No, I'm all about competency at DCs, and there's techniques out there, SOT, DROP, Diversified, Gonset, all that stuff. And so, you know, there's a handful of techniques that I've been using for 2.5 decades, and I'm competent at it. And we're talking about, this is a technique, PT, you know, acupuncture, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I don't have enough information on it. And, you know, I'm all about tabling it and finding out more information on how many more classes to make people competent. Just not, you know, this isn't guns blazing like the Mercedes 80s in the DC world. Hey, let's do it. What can we build for it? Let's do it. You know, I'm sure there's a benefit because you're an expert. And, you know, we're all experts at something because we do it all the time. But I want to know more about a technique before I just...
We can
do, hey, let's do it. And I understand, hey, you know, physiotherapeutics diploma that I have from New York Chiropractic College that I didn't go to in 1996, you know, I have that on my wall, you know, but at the same time, you know, these are like blanket definitions, you know, and I just don't want to say yay to something until I get more information about it.
And I'm here to protect the public, and I'm confused by this, and there are a lot of good, bad, everything under the sun. But again, focus, board members. We have an item on the floor to table this item until November. We have a motion. Do we continue talking about this while we have a motion on the floor before we do anything else, or do we have a second and then a vote?
I second the table.
We have a second by, or we have a first by Dr. O, a second by Dr. Todd, to table this item until November. Further discussion.
I was contacted by one of the other associations, specifically FCPA. Are they here today? Is if because they were talking about this to me. I got your email, Ms. Triggers. I emailed you back.
Oh,
yeah. I gave you my phone number. You didn't call me.
I don't have your phone number.
FCPA.
I don't think I have your phone.
Yeah, it's on my email. But FCPA called me about this specifically, and I honestly don't know enough about it myself. I thought they would. Do we have comments? Because I thought they were going to be here, because he specifically asked me about this.
We do have one request for public comment. Dr. Josh Freemeyer from the Florida Chiropractic Society has turned in a card.
But if but if this is going to be tabled, then the public comments would be tabled as
correct.
Well.
Correct.
So, okay.
Right now we're on discussion on the motion to table.
Motion to table until the November 9th, 2023 meeting. We have a motion by Dr. O, a second by Dr. T. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor of tabling this item until November 9th, 2023, say aye. November is the next meeting, November 9th, 2023.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we still, if we do this in November, we still have time to be able to push. That's time with the January, and then it would be passed through in June. So we're effectively pushing it for only a couple. We're not saying no. We're saying no, not right now. But if we do it in November, that gives us time for the next year. It'll go through.
Well, we're talking about multiple different situations. Right now we're talking about tabling the discussion, the decision made on this declaratory statement about whether or not dry needling falls within the current scope of practice.
Okay.
If there is a desire of the board to make recommendations for expansion of scope of practice, those would be second and aside from the decision on the declaratory statement. So the question before the board is whether or not this does or does not fall within the scope of practice as it exists today.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Okay. Roberts, if we're going to go back and here we're going into scope of practice again, you got to always worry about opening your scope. And when we open our scope to try to get this, that's when everybody's going to come after us and say, no, you're not going to put it in your scope. You're not going to get it into the law. You think it's not just going to walk through. When we can say right now, this is our we can do this in our practice. Because you open up the scope and you never know what's going to happen.
But what I'm hearing is, I'm sorry, is that even doctors on this board don't feel comfortable with a going
I understand. No, right I understand. Now. I understand it. But they're talking about opening scope, and it just seems like a dangerous road to go down.
I would, if the board were to table this, and I'm not suggesting that's one way or the other, but I would be willing to have a further discussion with Ms. Driggers on the issue of whether or not it currently exists in the physiotherapy. And looking at the definitions under 486 for physical therapy practice, it may very well meet the definition of physiotherapy, but I would like to do some more research, and I would like to talk further with Ms. Driggers about the research that she's already completed.
Has the FCPA contacted the FCA? Because that might be something we want to do. We'll get everybody together. I like that
Which
idea.
Would be a workshop.
Maybe we should have a workshop and get together and discuss this collectively, like the four organizations.
I mean, they've called me specifically,
come
but everybody
together.
Calls me.
I didn't get a phone call.
Well, Dr. Oliverio, with all due, that we're in a public meeting. This is an agended meeting. This is akin to a workshop. There's opportunities for dialogue amongst board members. There's opportunities for us to take public comment. There's opportunity. We publish the fact that there's been a request for a declaratory statement in the Florida Administrative Register. If you look in your meeting materials, we've received comment from the public, which is the same venue that would be collected in a workshop. What we're hearing today is that the board members themselves have some additional discussion. I am not saying we cannot have a workshop. I'm saying that this is synonymous with a workshop. All of our meetings are synonymous with basically workshops in order to have these sorts of dialogues about things within the industry and profession and moving them forward. So I don't know that we need a specific label in order to accomplish your goals. I think we can definitely table it, gather more information for you, have some more discussion and dialogue at a future date and time, if that's what I'm hearing the board members are interested in doing. But again, that we as a body are required to make a decision on this declaratory statement about whether or not dry needling does or does not fall within existing scope of practice. So we have to make a decision on that at some point.
That's why I made the motion.
Okay, so hold on. Ms. Driggers.
I want to comment for those board members here and those new licensees behind me. As a registered lobbyist, do know that over 1,500 bills were filed this past session. Only 300 were signed. So trying to hamstring other treatment methodologies into our scope of practice to open it up and to then possibly include dry needling, the verbiage dry needling, does not mean that chiropractic physicians will be able to do it, because the chances of us getting a bill passed on scope of practice with this particular legislature and leadership in the state of Florida is a very, very tenuous road to go down.
Thank you. Okay, so board members, let's focus. We have a motion and a second. We've just had discussion. Those in favor of tabling this item, coming back with more information, doing the research, as Mr. Frizzell said, to the November meeting. I think we're going to have to do a roll call. Those in favor of tabling until the November meeting, and I'm just going to call roll. Dr. Comerford, the motion is to table this until the November meeting, in which to do. Okay, so we have a yes. Dr. Mountain. Dr. Todd?
Yes.
Dr. O?
Yes.
Dr. Roberts?
No.
Saunders, yes, table until November. Only, well, you got to come from my standpoint. Just listening to the going back and forth, if the public were to hear this, I don't know what they're going to do. Do they feel comfortable going to a chiropractor asking for dry needling, or is it acupuncture, or is it anything else? I'm just as confused as probably a lot of people, and if not, that's okay too. I don't have a background in chiropractor, and I appreciate what everybody's doing. But at this time, we have voted to table the motion until the November 9th meeting. Mr. Frizzell, you said you wanted to get with Ms. Driggers do research.
I have Ms. Driggers' contact information.
I think, I don't know if Dr. O, you were talking about doing a workshop and pulling everybody together. Does that need to be doing a online meeting or?
Maybe what? Mrs. Driggers can get everyone together, the four organizations come together and do a Zoom meeting or something of that nature. Kind of like we did.
I think it's a good idea, and I'm not, but there are two separate issues here, and I think the workshop is toward, is for, it would be one agenda item, and the deck statement would be a separate agenda item.
Yeah. Now, we just go ahead and go on record of asking the board members to please use caution when talking about any information that is going to be on this or a future agenda of the board where two board members are meeting to discuss future actions of the board. That meeting must be publicly noticed and made available. So as you move forward in this, please be mindful. We've heard this here today. We've decided that we're going to hear it again in the future. You need to be very cautious about conversations that you are having so that we make sure that we are fully in the sunshine on this and make sure that members of the public are notified and able to participate, as is the will of the legislature.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Mrs. Mooney. Go ahead, Cal.
Good point.
No, please finish.
You had mentioned something about a secondary motion to talk about expansion scope, to open that up for discussion.
No, sir. I meant that it was a secondary action.
Secondary action.
Yes. So it's a separate and distinct. We're talking about the decision of the declaratory statement, and then if there are recommendations that the board would like to make through public about expansion of scope of practice, that would be something separate and distinct from that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Not to beat a dead horse, but just looking at the timeline here, if say we come back and we look at this deck statement and we decide that it is within the scope, I mean, I assume just from some of the conversation that we're going to have some sort of rulemaking that's going to, you know, follow this up. Is it within, does it make sense to open rulemaking at this particular time?
I would recommend just simply putting Chapter 17 on the agenda for discussion.
Okay.
After we have the deck statement discussion, so that way, because you can vote to open and change at the same meeting, just so long as it's publicly noticed. There's no.
So you can open and change at the same meeting.
You can.
With it. Okay.
You don't. Yeah, and I usually recommend not opening prematurely, simply because it can. There's timelines and people can start, and it starts a process that, you know, that necessarily can complicate things. If you just have it all at once, it
okay. I didn't know what the timeline was, whether we needed to be ahead of it or...
That is a good idea, putting Chapter 17 as an agenda item on the next meeting would be helpful, so we can have this discussion, have the scope of practice discussion, and then, if necessary, go immediately into a discussion of potentially, and if it's just a simple change or no change at all, then we may be able to resolve it. If not, we can at least start the conversation.
And Ms. Driggers, I apologize. I replied to my own email.
Thank you. I thought maybe spam, but I promise I didn't receive it.
So now you...
I was upset. Nobody responded
to
me.
So now you have... I responded correctly. That's two for me today.
Dr. Melton,
thank you for admitting it.
Were you finished? Okay, Dr. Roberts.
Chapter 17, what are you referring to?
Oh, sorry, it's Rule Chapter 17.
Rules.
It's because I believe that that's the most logical location to address the issue of dry needling if the board determines that rulemaking is necessary in order to implement the allowance of dry needling.
We can wait on that.
Yeah, we wouldn't open that now. Sure. You can put it, just notice it for the public, for a public discussion at the next meeting, and then you can decide to open it then if necessary.
And you're noticing the expanded scope?
I'm sorry?
This expanded scope?
Yes, the discussion on that, yes.
Thank you. So
we'll include that on the meeting agenda, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Driggers. Thank you, Dr. Wiegand, for coming from Arizona. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Okay, board members, it's 11:14. Let's keep going. Next on our agenda, public comment. Do we have any public comments?
The only card that's on the desk, Madam Chair, is from Dr. Freemeyer, and that was specific to our declaratory statement. That comment will roll over with the tabling.
Okay, so do we have any other?
I would point out that anyone that the board can accept written comments, so if you had a comment that you wanted to make but you're not able to make the board meeting, next time, you can certainly submit that in writing, and it'll be put on the agenda. What would be the deadline for that?
We typically request 30 days, no later than 7, though.
So you are able to put any comments in writing if you are not able to, if it's inconvenient or impossible for you to make the board meeting.
Thank you. Okay, so
Saunders, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Well, from the, I believe it was St. Augustine, where we had a big discussion about the CCPA, the hours, and the length of time that is required. Mm-hmm. So if you can finish the 100 hours, I don't know how many hours, 100 or 200 hours, in 2 months, and you don't have to wait a year or so. Did that already...
So actually, it was at our last board meeting that we had that lengthy discussion. Under my executive director report, I was going to kind of address where we were with that whole process and have some conversations. I can certainly address it now if the chair would like me to, or I can wait until we get to.
Let's wait and go by the agenda.
Okay.
Is that okay? Okay. All right. Our next, so we don't have any cards? No cards? No. Okay. Okay. Next item is ratifications. So we have ratifications. We have, we need a motion to, and we're on Bates page. What?
No.
Oh, we have on Bates page 11480. We need a motion to approve the list of applicants beginning with chiropractic physicians 14547 and ending with 14650. There's 104 records, and we need a motion to approve those.
Motion. I make that motion.
Motion by Dr.
I'll
Robbins.
Second.
Second by Dr. Melton. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Dr. Todd?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. We need a another motion on the floor for the Certified Chiropractic Physician's Assistant to ratify the list of applicants beginning with 1197 and ending with 1224. We need a motion.
Motion, Dr. Roberts.
Motion by Dr. Roberts is second by Dr. Melton. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Our next item is our continuing education courses. This is on Bates page 11486. Do we have a motion to accept the continuing education courses approved by board staff and the CE courses approved by committee chair Dr. Comerford?
Yes, I motion.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Comerford, a second. Can you motion your own item?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not?
We have a motion by Dr. Comerford, second
ma'am.
By Dr. Roberts. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. The next item is providers. Do we have a motion to accept the continuing education course applications approved by board staff and the CE courses approved by the CE committee chair, Dr. Comerford? Do we have a motion?
Motion, Dr. Comerford.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Comerford or a second by Dr. Roberts. Any discussion?
No. I do have a question on the telehealth.
Yes.
Yes, I do, too.
Okay.
Okay, but that's the next one, so hold off. So we have a motion and a second. No discussion. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Yes, so the next section is telehealth.
Yes, ma'am. So since 2019, the Florida legislature enacted some legislation that authorizes out-of-state individuals to provide telehealth to individuals within the state of Florida. There's some statutory requirements that they have to have a substantially similar license type. They cannot have been convicted of any criminal history in the past. They have to have a clear national provider database listing. It was the legal opinion of the department at the time that the law was implemented that a ratification listing was not necessary at the time. And however, we have reevaluated and determined that we would like those ratification lists to appear before the board. So this is the first ratification list that's in place for individuals that are authorized to provide telehealth chiropractic services. There's a total of 37 of them.
I've never heard of that. So that's what I'm curious. How do I get on that?
Well, you're licensed in the state of Florida.
So it's only for people out of state.
Correct.
They have to be out of state. They can't even have
so they're required.
Ineligible.
They have to have a Florida registered agent. So there has to be physical presence in the state of Florida. They're required to practice to our standard of care. They're required. They're subject to discipline if we receive a complaint about something that is rendered through telehealth services. They're required to maintain an active and valid license in another state that is substantially equivalent to Florida's licensure. And they are, we do annual checks on the national provider database to make sure that there's no anything going on there, criminal history or anything that's reported there. And they are required to continuously demonstrate their active licensure.
Are they, so they, there's a statute and they have already met those requirements.
Correct.
And is that statute for their requirements more stringent than our